We now go live to Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson for an update on COVID-19 in Arkansas.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to everyone. Thank you for joining us for today's COVID-19 update. I first want to recognize, of course, Dr. Nate Smith, Secretary of Health, and Dr. Jose Romero for joining us today as well. I want to cover a couple things. First, there is a post by Cheyenne Bright, who's a nurse at Washington Regional Medical Center, and she gave me permission to use this. But it is an important message, and it is to the people who think COVID isn't real or isn't serious. I just want to let you know it is very real and very serious. I spent the day comforting my dying patient so they would know they weren't alone. This patient who was perfectly fine 6 days ago, this patient who didn't have underlying conditions, this patient who is now not perfectly fine. COVID doesn't care about your age, your gender, where you're from, or what ethnicity you are. If you have lived a good, healthy life, or if you haven't, it doesn't matter. It can't affect anyone. So be safe and be mindful. Wear your mask. If not for yourself, do it for others. And so, Cheyenne, I want to thank you for what you do and all of your colleagues in the hospital, and also for this important message reminding people of the seriousness of it and the importance of wearing masks. And related to that, today I was on a Zoom call with the Springdale Chamber of Commerce, and they'd made me aware of a program that they have about encouraging businesses to advocate and to wear masks and to encourage their patrons to do it as well. It is Protect and Respect, Wear a Mask by the Springdale Chamber of Commerce, encouraging their businesses. So this would be a sign that you could have in the business that says masks are mandatory for entry to this business, encouraging their businesses to advocate for wearing a mask. They also have that in Spanish as well, both of their signs and promotion materials. So I want to applaud the Springdale Chamber of Commerce for the leadership that they have put forth in terms of wearing masks. Let's look at the cases for today. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at them statewide, but then I want to dig more deeply into Benton and Washington County. I've asked Dr. Smith to prepare some information on this. We've dug deeper, and I want to be able to present that. Yesterday, we had 17,375 cases. Today, we have an additional 687 cases. Brings us to a total of 18,062 cases. Of those new cases, Washington County had 96, Benton 45, Pulaski 44, Lonoke 26, which is part of a training center there in Lonoke. Sebastian had 26, and the rest were under 20, which really shows that other than particular growth areas or high population areas, the cases are really spread throughout Arkansas in smaller numbers. And because of our increased testing is one of the reasons we have the number of cases. Hospitalizations increased 17. We now have 284 hospitalizations. And then we have two new deaths. That brings us to 242. We have tested 6,652 over the last 24 hours. And we have an overall positivity rate of 6.5%, which I like that overall number, even though we'd like to bring it down some. And let's go through the slide statewide. First of all, the normal ones that we use, you can see in today's number with 687, it ranks close to the top, with some being in correctional institutions and the rest being community. You go to the next slide and you see the rolling average, 7-day rolling average that continues to trend up. It'll trend up until we lower the new cases that we have. And then we have the hospitalized, which we watch every day. People ask me, which one do you pay the most attention to? This is probably the one. I actually want to look at this more closely as to the hospitalizations in each area of the state, because we're spreading our cases out, it seems to me, around the state more evenly. And then if you'll go to the number of active cases, which is obviously an important indicator, our trend line was flat for a couple days and it's up. We want to be able to flatten that out. And then the seven-day rolling average of new cases in Benton County. And so this shifts us now to Benton and Washington County. And this is really important for us to see, to give hope, to show that if we have the right behavior, we can reduce the number of new cases and the spread of the virus. And so you can see with the seven-day rolling average, the trend line started down. We got a dip down in Benton County, and even today's number is 45, so that will be about here, but it'll still should be coming down. We want to keep going in that direction. And then the next one is Washington County. Looks a little bit different. 7-day rolling average of new COVID cases in Washington County. And here again, we flattened out there, and then we've started down. Now, could go up, go depending from here, we'll see. But that's a good indication. It's not continuing on that upward trend, again showing that when there's a concentration of effort in masks, in social distancing and taking it seriously and testing and our isolation, that has a difference in the community. And then I wanted to look at testing as well in these counties. And so this is Benton County, Washington County, and Arkansas as a whole. And this is very interesting to me because this is the rate per 10,000 residents. And so in Benton County, we were testing 1,200 residents for every 10,000 population. But then in Washington County, we're more at 625 that we're testing in Washington County. And then across Arkansas, we're actually testing per 10,000 residents, you know, at about, looks like about 925, something like that. And so this shows the investment in testing and the response there in Benton County and in across the state of Arkansas. Of course, I asked the question, well, why is Washington County testing lower per residence than the rest of the state? Now, the answer could be, well, we're not making it available enough. Well, they have the same availability in Washington County through their clinics, through their hospitals, through our mobile units that are there, our special testing times. And so we're trying to make that available. If we need to do more, we will. But it's largely available in the same way it is in Benton County and across the state. So what other reason could it be that the testing is lower in Washington County? It could be that people, for whatever reason, is not going in to get tested. Maybe they're not pushing that as much. That could be part of the language challenges, the cultural challenges in some of the community. And so we want to look at that more carefully as to what do we need to do more. And that's one of the things I hope the CDC team gives us some good counsel on. But while the trend line is good, we want to make sure that that testing is available and that everyone knows that they can get a test and that it will be paid for. I mean, you're not going to have to worry about the test coming out of your pocket. And then let's look to see what else we have. These are two more slides on the testing. This is Benton County testing per day. So it's just a little different. Rather than the seven-day rolling average, it's per day. You can see where we got to the height of testing per day there. But it, these are some of the things that are not totally in our control because it does depend upon demand and who wants to test. And the negative is the lighter color and positive is the red color. So go back to Benton County for a second. And you can see where we're having very high levels of testing, but the positivity rate is rather low in Benton County. In Washington County, you look at the testing is high on one day, but a lot of the testing is not as high. But the positivity rate is higher than it was in Benton County. And so that indicates to an epidemiologist like Dr. Smith that we are targeting it very well in Washington County. We're going where the spread is, and so it's going to give you a higher positivity rate. I trust his judgment as an epidemiologist that that's good advice, and that's not bad that we're having that because we're able to identify, isolate, quarantine those that might contribute to the spread. And so I think that, we got one more here. And this is the overall positivity rate, which is 6.5% on the overall average. And it shows that we're continuing to test substantially in Arkansas. And that's the rolling average, which is maintaining steady, headed down. We want to make sure that stays below that 10% positivity rate. With that, I want to thank you for the time today, and I'll turn this over to Dr. Smith for his comments.
Thank you, Governor. Before I go into the numbers, I just want to point out some additional testing events that will be coming up in Benton and Washington counties. Give people every opportunity to get tested there. And as the governor mentioned, in Washington County, when we see those higher percentages of positivity, what that's indicating to us is that we're probably testing more people who are either symptomatic or who are contacts or who are in higher risk groups, and probably less people who are at lower risk. So we would like folks in Washington County to avail themselves of the resources there for testing, just like those in Benton County have. As the governor mentioned, we have had 687 new cases since yesterday. 168 of those are correctional, 519 in the community. So our total is a little over 18,000, 18,062. Of those, 5,695 are active cases, 104 in a nursing home, 841 in a correctional facility, so we have 4,750 active cases in the community. We have had, as the governor mentioned, a net increase of 17 hospitalized, so we're up to 284 hospitalized patients. We have 66 currently on a ventilator. That's an increase of 8 from yesterday. And as the governor mentioned, we've had 2 additional deaths, so we're up to 242. We have had a total of 12,127 who have recovered. That's an increase of 559 from yesterday. The governor talked a little bit about the counties, where these are coming from, and also I wanted to make a mention about the testing. We did 6,652 individuals yesterday, and that brings our total for the month to 141,515. So we have well exceeded our goal for the month, and we'll keep on going. In terms of other risk groups, clusters, as the governor mentioned briefly, in Lone Oak County, we have a training academy where we've had a cluster, so we're actively working there. We're continuing to work with the Ouachita River Correctional Facility in Malvern and Hot Spring County, and continue to be vigilant about other potential clusters. But it is good news that we are seeing a flattening of the curve in Benton and Washington counties. And that gives us hope that even in a situation like that, where you have quite a bit of transmission going on in the community, really driving the state's increase with a concentrated, focused effort, we are able to flatten that out. And hopefully we'll see that go down as well. With that, I'll turn it back over to the governor.
With that, we'll take questions.
In Washington and Benton counties, what specifically do you think has made a difference in flattening that out?
A number of factors. First of all, the community took it very seriously. They increased their level of intensity on wearing masks, social distancing. One anecdotal story was that someone said that in one big box store 30 days ago, there were 30% of the people wearing masks. Today, there are 70% of the people wearing masks. And so the community takes it serious, and the leadership does. Secondly, it's about the strategy that Dr. Smith and his team has worked so hard to implement, which is the increased testing, be able to identify the new cases and go through the contact tracing and working with industry to isolate and quarantine those that need to be. And so all of that combined is the strategy that we've talked about, and we hope that it continues to be successful, but it's really the foundation of that is how serious the community takes it, and we trust that they will continue to do so. Jay?
The positive numbers in Washington County seem to be tops in the state, but their testing levels kind of don't seem to match that. I know you touched on it a little bit, but I guess kind of go in depth more as to the reasoning behind that kind of difference.
It's not something that we totally control. I mean, testing depends upon demand and people saying, I want to be tested. And virtually everywhere in Arkansas, it's the same standard. They have access through their clinics, through their hospitals. The testing sites are well known. And so that access is there. As I've said, I think that in Washington County, there's been some challenges in making sure that every community knows that that testing is available, that we can overcome the concern about cost, communication challenges. And there's some things that we can do better. We're open to the community to do that, and that's one of the reasons we've had a couple of these extra testing events scheduled. Are there any questions remotely?
Yeah, Governor, this is Andrew with AP. Wanted to ask you a couple questions. One, Texas's governor today announced that they're putting their reopenings on pause, halting elective surgeries in some of their counties, given the massive numbers they've seen there. First question was, wanted to see if things have gotten to, or would there be a point where you would look at similar steps in Arkansas, given the spikes we're seeing here? And the second question I had for you was dealing with masking. Little Rock's mayor has said he's finalizing his order on a mask requirement. Wanted to see if you are still adamantly opposed to mask requirements at the state or local level, and also, is there a way for cities to enact these requirements in a way that you think would comply with your emergency declaration?
Well, I wanted to answer that first one, and I hope I get it all, so you might have to repeat it, Andrew. But on the first question about Texas, first of all, they have opened up to a larger extent than we have. For example, they are at, I believe it's 75% capacity in the restaurants. We're at 2/3. And Governor Abbott, based upon your question, did not say they're rolling it back. They're saying they're putting on new openings on pause. Well, our new openings are on pause as well. We're on pause at 2/3, and we're on pause until we feel comfortable that we ought to lift additional restrictions. And so, again, you have to look beyond just simply what phase they articulate that they're in, because every state, most of the states actually have jumped way out from the White House guidelines on phases and have moved into their own phases. Like, I think California has 3 or 4 phases, and I think they're in phase 3, and they're not following the White House guidelines. They're setting their own template for it. And so Texas, it seems to be somewhat similar. But we're clearly on pause here in the state in terms of moving to lift further restrictions until we are comfortable with where we are in controlling the spread. The last question in terms of mask, we've worked with the cities. If they talk to us about it, there's ways that they can be helpful without violating our statewide order. For example, one city council, they're passing resolutions just simply advocating for everybody to wear masks without making it a civil penalty. So I haven't seen what Little Rock intends to do. But we've made clear we have a statewide guidance that's in place, and we're encouraging people to wear masks and the businesses to participate in that.
Under health department guidelines that classify prisoners as recovered after 2 weeks, all the cases at Cummins would have been classified as recovered earlier this week. And then we saw on Tuesday, 30 more people tested positive. How did these people come in contact with the virus? And does it give you any pause to labeling people recovered without testing them again?
Dr. Smith, do you want to?
We'll be investigating carefully together with the Department of Corrections, but there are a number of reasons why we may have new cases in a facility that has had an outbreak and then has had individuals recovered. One is that if it's shortly after the outbreak has resolved, it could be that there was someone who initially tested negative but was actually incubating infection and then later goes on to develop infection. And if they were in a barrack or in a situation where they were in contact with other susceptible individuals, they could spread that to them as well. But then we also have staff who are coming and going, and all the same things that caused the introduction in the first place could cause a second outbreak. So having gone in and tested and segregated does definitely limit the spread of COVID-19, but it doesn't make that facility immune from another outbreak.
Yes, ma'am.
My question is regarding mail-in voting. You've said you want to make a decision by August 1st, but there are officials that say that will not give them enough time. So my question is, why not make the decision now and use that CARES Act funding to let counties prepare?
I just haven't heard from the same officials you have heard from. We did a survey, and that was the indication that I had, that it was an August time frame. If they need information sooner than that, then they need to express themselves. I'm waiting to hear from the State Board Election Commissioners. I'm waiting to hear from some of the county clerks as to what their time frame is and what action they would suggest would be helpful to protect people in the November election. So I look forward to hearing from them. Yes.
My question is for Dr. Smith. Since the CDC has arrived, have they offered any recommendations to the state yet in regards to reaching those populations with language barriers?
I have not received any specific recommendations from them, but they've already been meeting with members of the community and basically focus group, key informants, and they've been doing some messaging themselves. So they're not just collecting information to make recommendations later. The process of doing that is also informing the community. But I am looking forward to getting their full recommendations when they're at the end of their deployment.
Jay?
Are you reconsidering bringing in, there's about 4,300 soldiers coming into Fort Chaffee for training exercises that July 4th weekend. Are you reconsidering that? And then we've heard that there's not necessarily a testing protocol in for them coming in yet. Is that something that's going to be revisited or done?
I'm going to respond, and Dr. Romero, I'm going to invite you to come up and respond to that as well. I think he's done some work on it. But in terms of we want to continue to look at that. That is not just a decision of the state of Arkansas. This is a decision by the National Guard Bureau in Washington as to their training that is necessary. They did submit to us, our Department of Health, their protocols for safety. And I think Dr. Romero and his team looked at that. Do you want to have a comment on that, Dr. Romero?
Thank you, Governor. Myself and another member of our staff were asked to look at this document to see if it met with what appeared to be good isolation procedures. It does. They are using a system of cohorting their trainees, and it meets the needs to cohort.
And I guess what's the PPE protocol for them? Are they getting anything, or kind of what's?
As to PPE for protection in case of
those trainees, those soldiers coming in, are they going to be issued anything when they get here?
I think that will have to be discussed with the military. We don't have the specifics on that.
Okay. We'll continue to look at that. If we have some follow-up information, we'll be glad to provide it. Is there one more question remotely?
Governor, this is Joe Flaherty with the Democrat Gazette. I want to follow up on a thought you expressed yesterday, which is that even if no state is immune, as you said, we see the infections shifting to different parts of the country, like California, which had a strict lockdown. Why not roll back the reopening of businesses in Arkansas, and why decline to issue a statewide order on masks now that a wave of infections appears to be washing over us? Because aren't steps like those directly related to how individuals go about their lives and how they perceive the severity of the current wave of infections, especially since much of our current strategy seems to be reliant on individuals making smart choices and how seriously they take the situation, as you say?
No state locked down more toughly, harshly than California did. Did it stop the resurgence of cases in California because they locked their economy down to the extent that they could for such a long period of time? And the answer is no. And so where is the argument that we ought to go back and lock down our economy and require everybody to shelter in place when we did not see that as successful in preventing the spread and the, as I say, the fog of the virus rolling over California? So we continue to look at the data, listen to our public health officials, and make the judgments based upon that and what makes sense in Arkansas. We'll continue to follow those guidance and make those judgments. You know, in terms of the mask, I think we've lost our sense of balance if that's really the essence of the debate as to whether it should be mandated or whether it should be something that's encouraged and we educate people on. That's a judgment that we make. As Dr. Smith has said, the most important thing is that somehow we increase the number of people who take personal responsibility and understand it. Right now, we're doing that through education. We're doing that through programs like I mentioned at the Springdale Chamber of Commerce. And if we need to change our presentation or development of criteria, we'll do so. Jay?
Just real quick, though, I think the argument in favor for stricter measures would be that the wave is reaching us now as opposed to, you know, a month or 2 months ago, and therefore now is the time for a stricter lockdown or a statewide order on masks. Do you see what I'm saying?
Art Smith, do you have any comment on that? I see what you're saying. I just don't see the point. In theory, yes. If you want to go to a lockdown right now, over time, that is just one additional element of reducing the potential for spread. I don't know that you can argue against that point, but is that the right call? The answer is no. We look at the harm that would be caused in terms of the human suffering because of failure to have a job and the unemployed and the mental anguish that goes with it. And so I think it's important that we balance this with having two messages. Let's take responsibility. Let's do our strategy. And then at the same time, let's make sure that we don't shut down our economy. Jay.
Kind of getting to the statewide mask thing. Some people have even compared this to maybe seatbelt laws. You know, both deal with safety. You know, I know you said enforcement is kind of an issue here, but, you know, seatbelt laws aren't always all enforced. It's kind of like when we see it, then we'll get you. I guess kind of how would you sort of respond to sort of that analogy?
Well, I've thought of that analogy, and, you know, there is some merit that if you say, you know, you could be subject to a citation, a fine in court, you might have to go for a municipal judge if you failed to have a seat belt or if you failed to have a mask. But I know how challenging it has been simply to, because it is a directive for our restaurants for the staff to wear a mask and for guests they come in to wear a mask until they are served. Now, that's a challenge. I'm getting calls all the time saying, well, so-and-so's not doing it, or the staff's not complying in this restaurant, and we're taking enforcement actions. But I just don't think that's what we want right now, is that somebody calls up and said, hey, I saw Jay take his mask off right in the middle of this meeting right here. Let's give him a citation. I'm sorry, Jay. I'm on your side on this. Yes.
You mentioned the rolling averages in Benton and Washington counties are flattening out. Can you tell us what the hospitalization trends are in those regions and in what regions we're seeing hospitalizations grow?
Yes, we're still continuing to see hospitalizations increase in that northwest part of the state. And hospitalizations are a little bit of a lagging indicator. I mean, we'll see the cases go up, then we'll see the hospitalizations follow. We're continuing to be in contact with those hospitals, and we'll have to continue to watch that carefully. And they understand that as well. And earlier we had some of our hospital CEOs here explain some of the strategies that they take. One is what they call load balancing, distributing the admissions around their region so that no one facility is overloaded. They can also transfer out of the region when appropriate. And then they also may need to decrease some of their elective cases as well. So they have these mechanisms to try and accommodate increased hospitalizations. We'll keep working with them. If they start to exceed those mechanisms, then we do have those plans in place, and we can move more of those patients outside the region. But right now, we're not hearing that.
Dr. Smith, a couple of stat questions here. Do we have the percentage of asymptomatic positives, and then also, do we have the hospitalizations by region?
Asymptomatic positives, that's, can be a little bit misleading. Someone who does not report significant symptoms at the time of testing, they may be pre-symptomatic. They may go on to develop symptoms. It doesn't mean that they never develop symptoms. I haven't looked at that percentage recently. We had about 75% did not report symptoms at the time they were tested in our local health units. That doesn't mean that they didn't go on to develop symptoms. And the second question was?
Do we have the number of hospitalizations by region?
I don't have those with me today, but we'll go ahead and bring that tomorrow.
Any other questions? With that?
Yes, Governor.
Okay.
This is Melissa Zigowitz with Channel 11. Back to the face mask issue, do you believe that Arkansans are listening to your guidelines when it comes to that?
Yes, I think there's a growing awareness of it and a growing acceptance of it and an appreciation to why that is needed. I go back actually to a previous question about comparing it to the seatbelts. If you remember, which you might not remember because it was a long time ago, but it took years and years and years before there was public acceptance of seatbelt being a requirement. It took years and years and years of education. And before you start passing laws that govern conduct, there needs to be some level of acceptance of that in the state and by the public. And so it's one thing to encourage everyone to wear a mask and you build public support for it and they start doing that. But if you, whenever a low percent of the public does not wear mask, or they might wear a mask, but if you start penalize it and making it mandatory, then there's a resistance against that. There's not broad public acceptance of it. And it throws the whole thing in shambles and lose credibility. Now, I think this point is a little bit of a distraction because I was at an event today. I mean, people are wearing masks. People are taking responsibility. They make good judgments. But if you're out there and you socially distance, you don't need to wear a mask. If you can protect yourself outdoors or in a venue, then we don't have to wear a mask, but you've got to take those kind of protections. State employees is a good example. We've mandated as you return to work that you have to physically distance from your coworkers and work in a safe environment. If you can't do that, masks are mandated in that environment. But you don't want to You don't want to go too fast on the American public. We'll continue to evaluate that. There's reasons that a majority of the states have not enacted those kind of mandatory penalties on masks. With that, thank you all very much. We'll see you tomorrow.
You have been listening to Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson give his update on COVID-19 in Arkansas. Be sure to stay tuned to KTLO FM 97.9 and Classic Hits 101.7 for the next scheduled update.